on today's Compassion Radio.
I think the most obvious way to pray is that the Christian community will continue to share the message of hope. There doesn't need to be the fear of death. But when we're faced with it on a global scale, what a wonderful time for us to remind people that when the angels announced the birth of the Savior, they said the words peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. And what a beautiful message we have this year.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to part two of an important look at how Christians around the world are responding to the major challenges to hope, peace, and security that face our world today. Any serious look at the Word of God written in the years following the resurrection of Jesus shows something remarkable and inexplicable. The young Christian church, surrounded by constant threats and persecution, even martyrdom, didn't fade away. In fact, it thrived, and in a few short generations completely transformed the entire world order. In fact, anywhere and any time the church has faced an existential threat, it has always triumphed. And it always will. And in times when the world itself is in a panic, we have the antidote. We need to remember that and to tap into the same power, peace, and perseverance that we read about in Acts and the epistles. There's probably no body of believers in the world today that captures that spirit better than the church in China. We started yesterday discussing with our good and knowledgeable friend how the church there is handling the unprecedented burdens brought on by the coronavirus and are making the most of the crisis to bring Christ to their nation. It's a remarkable story, and we'll wrap it up today. Our guest works in very sensitive areas and with officials throughout Chinese government and society, so we've given him a pseudonym. We'll start with a quick recap from yesterday's discussion with a man we're calling Dr. China.
We don't know the total number of deaths. Perhaps we never will. But we do know that a country's been forced to think about eternity, their mortality. And I think the most obvious way to pray is that the Christian community will continue to share the message of hope. And there doesn't need to be the fear of death.
Yeah.
But when we're faced with it on a global scale, what a wonderful time for us not to be morbid, but to remind people that when the angels announced the birth of the Savior, they said the words peace on earth and goodwill towards all men. And well, what a beautiful message we have this year.
Yeah. Okay, let's focus back on ourselves for a minute, fully absorbed in their own problem, as if this is the only thing in the world that's happening and we're the only people to which it is happening. We are panicked now in this country in some ways about this foreign disease coming to us. And yet, of course, we know it's a natural thing. As it came from the natural world, there could be spiritual forces afoot here, but God is sovereign. We confess that. But we're dealing with our emotional response to things we cannot control. How would you be advising us to be praying for the church, the family here in the West?
I think very similar. Perhaps we do not have the same cultural fear of discussing death, talking, even joking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we ignore it through our entertainment, amusements, and our raw materialism. It's interesting to me when you dissect the word amusement. It's self-explanatory, isn't it?
Without thinking.
Don't think. And maybe losing the NBA, Major League Baseball, being able to, I turn on my television set and I can't find anything to amuse me. Perhaps in some way the Lord can use that to make us really think about the shortness of this life, what comes afterwards, and can bring us back to something of substance.
The Lord's been impressing upon me the past few days to be thinking seriously about His goodness and dwelling on that, speaking of it, discussing it, searching for it in the Scriptures, and confessing that. I mean, making a message of it out of every program that we produce, we need to be reminded of and remind each other of how good God is in the difficulties, not in spite of them and not after they're done. That if it's going to be tough for people for a while, some may be wealthy and are worried about their stock portfolios because of how erratic the markets have been. Others may not have those kind of resources, but they are concerned about their health. about what might happen to them if they caught coronavirus. Others might just be worried about the disruption to their livelihood and not being able to get to work. There's lots of things people could and rationally ought to be concerned about. But we're not dealing with a rational faith when we go to Jesus, because Jesus is beyond our own reasons. He is capable of dealing with things that are completely out of our control or out of our understanding. We confess him as sovereign and as Lord, remembering that his goodness is something that we need to learn from him and not just tell him what we think is good. What do you think, if we can contrast the Chinese church that you know so well with those here in America, what is it about the Chinese believers that we could learn from right now, Doctor, about how good God is and how they experience him and how we could emulate that, especially now?
The Christians in China may be shielded somewhat from unvarnished world news. It may be harder for them to get than it is for us here with the freedoms that we enjoy. However, they are not blind,
yeah.
They are not ignorant, and they are not unaware for the most part of the realities of what they're dealing with. They know that the party is atheistic. There's no hidden secret there.
Yeah.
They understand that biblical Christianity doesn't mesh with atheism. It just cannot be brought together.
Yeah.
They understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And so any government entity that pushes a form of universalism must be rejected, and it sits there at odds. But even aware of all that, they're finding a way forward to serve, to be light, to be salt.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we can learn from them. Is everything in our government what we wish it was?
I'm not sure I want to answer that question.
Whether you're blue or red or pink, I don't think you would answer yes. It's of course not. Would we like changes? All of us would like some changes.
Yeah.
Are we happy with the virus as it seeps through our country? No. Are we pleased with the drop in the stock market? For the most part, probably not.
Yeah.
But in all things, Christ can be glorified. We have a hope that cannot be taken away.
Yeah.
And we must be bold where God has put us. So what is our current reality? Not what I wish used to be, could have been, should have been, might have been. But where has God put us now?
Yeah.
And how does he want us to shine for him where we are?
I've marveled a number of times that there are people that seem to have nothing from our perspective in the West that rejoice that God chose them to be in difficult places because they see honor in that. They see that God trusts them and has entrusted to them a great stewardship, the ability to reach others and to brave things that others would be too soft to handle. And you see that in the eyes of pastors that are barefoot walking across fields of India or hiking in old flip-flops over the Himalayas. They know they're called to the tough places and that God literally born them in those countries when they know they could very well have been born somewhere else. And they take it not as a deprivation or a shame, but as an honor and as an opportunity. And they strike out from where God put them and go where God sends them. They're not afraid of it. And I wish for that kind of intrepidness in Western Christianity, that we would rejoice and be thankful for the things God has given us, but only to their end that God intends, not to our own amusement, as you put earlier. The kind of passion, I think, that just says, I'm so glad I was born where I am, but this is not all there is. So what can we do to build the kingdom, especially when it's difficult for others too? And that's the kind of spirit I'm praying that God would rise up inside the church in the West right now as we look at the challenges that these kind of economic and social and medical disruptions could take upon a society and see God able to redeem everything in the middle of all that. What other encouragement, since you have some experience in ministry directly yourself, would you give to a body of believers that is trying to decide how to respond and how they should pray?
I think the most practical thing we can do for the church in China today has to do, one and two, has to do with making sure, one, they have the Word of God. The answer for China is going to be in China.
Amen to that.
Not going to come from outside.
Although many good Bibles have been sent, and now many good Bibles are being made within their borders.
And we just celebrated 200 million Bibles printed in Amity Press.
Amen to that.
But keep in mind that that's over 35 years.
Yes.
And over half of those Bibles that were printed were exported out of the country.
Indeed.
So the need is still great. It's not met.
Yeah.
But I believe the greatest health-giving gift that we can give to the church in China is to make sure every believer and every seeker has a copy of God's Word. Number two, that the leaders have adequate tools along with training so that they can exposit or teach the Word of God intelligently and accurately. And these are both things that the church can do. There's ministries that can help them accomplish this. Now, there's many other things. Sure. I mean, clean water, protection of children, building up the family unit. We could go on and on with a litany of things that are helpful and needed. But for the believers who want to help, I would say, number one, make sure everybody has a Bible. Number two, let's make sure that those that are teaching, whether taught or untaught, they're still teaching on Sundays.
Yeah.
But why not help them teach accurately and correctly just in their teaching?
And you know many good people, including folks that we've traveled with, that provide those kind of materials and training and time spent in the Word together to understand it more fully, cross-culturally, moving out of just a Chinese culture, out of just an American culture, into a kingdom culture. And you are aggressively going at opportunities, encouraging those that you can to step up and become part of that process of arming those who have the most zeal and the most opportunity to get out there and do the work of evangelizing this entire planet. It's pretty clear from the Word of God that His true disciples, when faced with a life or death choice, always chose Jesus. Today, the challenge to even join together for weekly worship seems to be at risk. Maybe just for a few weeks, and maybe more. I wonder how our faith will hold up while we wait. And do we really have to not worship while we wait for the coronavirus to burn itself out? My question for you is, what will you do if your congregation has to shutter its doors for a time? It's probably not something we ever would have really considered until now. We'll be back with more insight on how faithful Christians can and do face challenges like these in just a moment. First, a word on how you can help a church around the world through Compassion Radio in their hour of crisis. The what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day, we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. The importance of your partnership with us in 2020 has never been greater. Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020. And to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Your gift today is absolutely essential to make that possible, and I can't emphasize that strongly enough. Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website. It's available 24/7. Our Safe and Secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way. You know many good people, including folks that we've traveled with, that provide those kind of materials and training and time spent in the Word together to understand it more fully, cross-culturally, moving out of just a Chinese culture, out of just an American culture, into a kingdom culture. And you are aggressively going at opportunities, encouraging those that you can to step up and become part of that process of arming those who have the most zeal and the most opportunity to get out there and do the work of evangelizing this entire planet. So
yes.
I do treasure the friendship we've built over the past couple of years and knowing more about your personal story and the people you work with and your personal mission. I'm just glad I've had the opportunity to be in that same room with you to hear the stories and to pray with you for the things that God's continuing to do.
It's mutual. We had a good time traveling together. And if your listeners will call you or contact you, I think you can steer them to some organizations that do credible and honest work for the Lord in these areas.
Amen. Yes, there are projects that are open and visible on our website, so I encourage folks to do that today. Well, Dr. China, a final word I would ask from you concerning the mental state that the world finds itself in. There seems to be some suspicion about our governments are not doing all that they can or should do. That's probably true. We need to be praying for them specifically. But I also do believe that there are many things that the church and only the church can do for those who are in dire straits from this epidemic and who are in dire straits because of spiritual poverty. If you could identify for me, Doctor, the key threat that you see to the church today in times of crisis like this.
Because we cannot do everything doesn't mean we shouldn't do something.
Hmm.
And the paralysis of an overload of need, I think, sometimes can cause us to just freeze and do nothing. And what I do is not what everybody else should do, nor vice versa. Because somebody else is doing it, I don't need to have a radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I'm against a radio broadcast. It's just not what God has called me to do.
But I'm glad you're willing to sit with me to do it.
Well, you know, you just keep it up, my friend.
Yeah.
But I think we should each do something. And whether that's through our local church, through a mission organization, I think some people may say, well, right now I want to meet the physical need and I want to help fund test kits or I want to volunteer my time to work in a clinic. It could be hands-on. For others, they'll say, I can't do that, but I can sit down right now and write a check and send it to a place that the Holy Spirit puts on my mind. And so I think that would be my appeal is because I can't do everything doesn't mean I should do nothing.
Yeah, I do think that those kind of brave things of choosing to support and our checkbook being the litmus test of our heart's desires is important. I mean, I say that with a lot of deference and a lot of respect for those who do give, because I know that I'm on the receiving end of that as a leader of a ministry myself, like you are. The object I'm after right now is to remind people that generosity is a weapon. It is a way of stepping into the impossible and making it possible because God promises to multiply gifts given to Him. I know it's not just money, but often it starts with that because we say, I'm putting my money on the line for the Lord's work and the Lord's purposes and the Lord's people. And in doing that, it opens up, it frees us up from that critical lockdown, the freezing up of faith that is fear. And I don't want to see people locked down in that. The other thing I would say that I would be challenging our listeners to right now is that the Chinese church, from what Dr. China here is saying, are dedicating themselves in their lockdown time, their forced sabbatical, to be attentive to the Word and get more deeply into it and spend time with it and build their families, build their prayer life. Could we not, in the times that we have here, choose not to be bored and actually crack the Bible open a little more often? Could we not ourselves spend at least a few more moments letting God's Word soak into our hearts to reset our compasses, to warm our hearts, and to unfreeze our ground so that we are ready to move? Could we not do that?
I can't think of a better way for us to turn this crisis into a globe-changing opportunity.
Hmm. Amen to that. Dr. China, thank you again so much for your perspective and for your wisdom. I assume because you're a bit restricted in your travel because of things that are not available to us right now to get in and out of the East Asian airports and ports of any kind, what has God called you to do in your sabbatical while you're not out there in the field?
I'm still trying to figure it out. I've never been here before. I don't have a boilerplate for this one. We wait. I can say when the first plane flies into China, I hope to be on it.
Amen to that.
And so personally, I don't fear the virus. I was there during SARS. Mm-hmm. And while I understand this is different in numerous regards, personally, I think the numbers are such that it wouldn't bother me to be back over there. Yeah. However, there's realities. Yeah. One is a 14-day quarantine. And if you're in a Chinese hotel watching Chinese television, that could get wearisome.
I remember sitting in more than one hotel room having to watch a lot of forced propaganda stories about how to honor your grandparents. And it's pretty bad acting. So I would understand people getting driven to the point of divorce because of it. But there is obviously media that is designed to reinforce the state. There is also media and literature designed to build faith. And I'm just so glad that over the past 20 or 30 years that you've been involved with, and we have too as an organization, getting the things that are eternal that can transform societies into the hands of those who are growing in their faith. And that just is one of the greatest honors of my life, knowing that there are tens of thousands of more believers who have a copy of the Word of God because of the gifts and the generosity of the believers here. And I look forward to the day when the doors are thrown wide open again and everyone breathes a breath of fresh air and goes back to the business of reaching their neighbors and loving on them and not being afraid to touch them and to hug them in the name of Jesus. We'll dream for that day, too. And in the meantime, we'll be praying for your sabbatical, too, Doctor, that you would make good use of the time, that God would lead you in the kind of prayers and writing and contemplation that you need to muse upon for the next few weeks.
Thank you very much for those prayers.
And have a wonderful day, sir. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Never was love so tender. Never was love so strong. Even in his surrender, his love would carry on. And as his heart was breaking, he was mending lives. And as he hung there dying, was giving us life. So when you are tired and empty, when you can't run any longer, he'll take you to the finish, 'cause his love is strong. His love.
We are so honored to have great friends of this ministry and the church around the world as a man that we're calling Dr. China today. And thank you, friends, for being part of this team, which makes it possible for us to bring you these stories and to make life-changing projects possible around the world. Your support is indispensable. Now, to reach us 24/7, to learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. I'm Bram Floria, wishing you a great day in the Lord.